Good morning, everybody. I'm Ethan. I'm a member here at H2O, and I'm going to be reading today's scripture from 2 Corinthians verses 5, or chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
Thanks, Ethan. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to H2O. I'm one of the pastors here. My name's Kyle. And we are over halfway through the semester, and therefore, over halfway through this sermon series. And so we are going through this series called Extraordinary, where we're digging into really all of the ways in which a disciple of Jesus' life ought to be extraordinary, ought to be different, outside the norm. And so, hang on, I'm sensing a little bit of feedback there. Let's see if I can turn myself down a bit. Not sure what that is. Okay. So we're halfway through this series, and the hope, again, is just to give you a picture of what that looks like, what it looks like for someone who's following Christ to live an extraordinary life. That ought to be one that's totally different from a non-Christ follower, from somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And there's a lot of benefit in going through these things. You know, on the one hand, for people that are maybe just exploring faith, I think it hopefully gives a snapshot of both the good and the difficult aspects of following Christ, what that looks like, and how in both of those things, ultimately, that should result in a fuller life. And that's kind of why we use John 10:10 as our cornerstone verse for this passage, which is right here for you. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. So it's this idea that, man, if we are really following Christ, if we're disciples of Jesus, that ought to bring us an abundant life, even through the difficulty and the good things as well about following Jesus. And then on the other hand, for those of us that are already followers of Jesus, we get to examine our lives and see if they match up with what we should expect to see for a follower of Christ. So, for example, last week we talked about extraordinary discipline. Okay, extraordinary discipline. How for a follower of Jesus, we should have a kind of godly discipline present in our lives that focuses on that which is most important. And so if we don't see that, if we're a follower of Jesus and we're not seeing that in our lives, then it serves as a challenge to us to be more disciplined so that we would not be living our lives aimlessly, but intentionally. Okay, and so this week we're continuing the series and we're going to be talking about the topic of extraordinary purpose. Extraordinary purpose. Now, I don't think that there are very many topics that I could preach on that would be more relevant to this crowd than this topic. Okay? For decades, we've in the United States, we've seen people come to college not just to figure out their career, but also as a place to answer major questions in their life. I think that's still true today. Things like, what do I care about? Who will I marry? That's a big one that a lot of people are asking. Where will I live? What am I passionate about? And I think the question that really we're digging into today when we're talking about purpose is this question: why am I here? Why am I here? This is a question that has been asked by college students, yes, for a long time, but really it's a question that's been asked since the beginning of time. It's always being asked, why am I here? There is something inside of us that yearns for purpose, that really wants that. We all want it, even if we don't know why we want it. There's something in us that wants that. We want to have some higher purpose to our lives than simply living and dying. We want to live for something greater than ourselves. Everybody wants this to some degree, even if they don't realize it yet. Here are some stats for you. 86% of adults say that living a meaningful life is more important than wealth, career success, or social status. That's really high, especially, you know, high for a group of people that are literally here to seek out career. 91% of Gen Z say they desire a life of meaning and purpose. That's you, okay? That's you guys. 83% of adults say they're actively trying to find purpose or meaning in their life. And at the same time, nearly 70% of adults globally say they struggle to define their purpose or feel uncertain about what it is. 77% of U.S. adults say they're spiritually open or curious, even if they're not religiously affiliated, largely because they're seeking out meaning and direction. Okay, so those are just some general stats. Here are some more specific ones. On career, in 2021, Barna found that 57% of adults say their work is their primary source of meaning. But over half also say that they feel burned out and unfulfilled by it. Isn't that interesting? On relationships and family, Pew Research in 2021 found that nearly 70% of U.S. adults say that family is what gives their life the most meaning. In 2022, Gallup found that 62% of people find meaning through helping others or contributing to society. Okay, so there's all kinds of different ways that people question, why am I here? They're trying to answer it. Your answer to that question says a whole lot about you. Okay? It says a whole lot about you. And for the believer of Jesus, we should be people with an extraordinary amount of purpose, a clear sense of an answer to that question. Okay? And so my hope is that if you're somebody that's asking that question, which I think to some degree all of us are, that you'll have the answer to that question today. You know, if you're somebody that's seeking and exploring faith as well, and maybe don't have the answer to that question, that's my prayer that you would have the answer to that question today. And if you're somebody that maybe already knows Jesus, but are still maybe asking that question, I hope that this message helps you lean into the purpose that you really should already have as a believer and follower of Christ. Okay? Now, before we dig in to there are three main purposes we're going to dig into. But before we do that, I think it's important to get something right about purpose that I think makes each of these things we're going to talk about make a lot more sense. We've talked about already a little bit, but like when people are searching for purpose and meaning in their lives, they can have the tendency to create or pursue their own meaning. You know, we gave some examples already. People can tie their meaning or purpose to their success, to their work, to their families, to the way they help others, the way they contribute to society. And ironically, I really feel that each of these on their own are actually quite meaningless. They're actually quite meaningless on their own. And there's a couple reasons why this ends up being the case. First, if we're asking the question that all of these purposes seek to answer, that question of why am I here, then it would seem to me that the answer ought to come from the person who put us here. From the person who put us here, or else it ends up being pretty empty. Okay? So to give an example, this is maybe a silly example, but recently I bought a leaf blower. Okay? Bought a leaf blower because, you know, 'tis the season to be blowing leaves. But I imagine that, let's say in a vacuum, I had never seen or heard of a leaf blower before. Okay, I just like found one on the ground somewhere. Had never heard of this device, never laid eyes on something like that before. Maybe it has a manufacturer's logo on it and everything, but I have no idea what this thing does or what it's for. Now, I suppose I could find some uses for that device. Okay, like there's a lot of things that I could maybe try to use it for. Like, hey, maybe I could, I don't know, strap like a funnel onto the end of it and use it to like blow up balloons for a birthday party or something like that. Like, I suppose that I could maybe try to do that, okay? But if I really wanted to know what that device was made for, I'd probably just get on the internet and Google the manufacturer, right? I'd probably just get on the internet and be like, what does this thing do? You know, and then like look it up and ask myself. I'd go to the source, really, the one who made it. And similarly, I think if we're here and we're wondering why we're here, what our purpose is, what our meaning is in life, I think it probably makes the most sense to go to the person who put us here and ask the question. Okay? We could try to come up with all sorts of other meanings, just like we can come up with all sorts of ways to use a leaf blower. But really, if we're trying to figure out why we're actually here, what we're made for, I think it probably makes the most sense to ask the one who made us. Additionally, if we're trying to manufacture our own purpose or meaning, I think what we end up finding is that it ends up being too small and too limited to actually be fulfilling. Whatever purpose we create has to end in this lifetime. But God, being eternal, has had plans for us since before you and I were even born, since before we stepped foot on the earth. Ephesians 2 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so what we see is that if we have this kind of ache inside of us, this yearning for purpose and meaning, like I really think that we all do, that's something that ought to be discovered, not created. Okay, that's something we ought to discover. We ought to learn from the one that created us instead of creating that on our own. We all yearn for purpose because God has placed that in us. He's made us that way, and he intends for us to discover it. All right, ready to dig in? There's three purposes, three main purposes that we have as believers in Jesus. This is true of every single person that calls himself a follower of Christ. Okay, and so if you're wondering what your purpose is and why you're put on this earth, this is for you. Purpose number one, to be reconciled to God and to love him forever. To be reconciled to God and to love him forever. And so going back to our main passage, verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Okay, this answers our question. Why am I here? This is the most major reason why every person is here. And this is something I wrestled a lot with whenever I was a student in college, like that question of why am I here? Because I was doing well in my classes. I had some good friends. I had a girlfriend I really liked. I was going to graduate college with no debt in a career field that pays well, and I was deeply unsatisfied. I was deeply unsatisfied because I couldn't answer that question. It all felt empty and meaningless, which I know sounds like really dark and depressing, but it's just true. That's how I felt. I had no meaning or purpose to my life. If I was honest with myself, I kind of just felt like I was getting by, you know, wake up, go to class, do my homework, eat, see some friends, go to bed. I don't know. That was my life, you know, before I met Jesus. And I just kept wondering, like, is this what I'm here for? Like, am I just going to wake up and do some things and go to bed? And then somewhere along the way, I met Christ. And I was just like, this is why I'm here. This is what I was made for. God wants to know me and have a relationship with me. And it's like a light bulb moment. Because my understanding of Christianity before this point was that it was like, that's a nice set of beliefs. You could find some good morals and rules to live by if you follow Christianity. But what I learned is that the Bible is all about God's plan to reconcile people to himself. Okay? He created us so that we would know him and have a relationship with him. But we kind of estranged ourselves from him by sinning. In our sin, we've run from God. We've made it impossible for us to know him on our own. And all of the Old Testament and the Bible just shows us like that we as people, we're continually choosing ourselves, choosing our own sin over him. Just if you read through the Old Testament, this is just this perpetual theme that's going on there. It's just like God's people, God keeps trying to rescue them, and they keep running from him. And it's kind of this picture of what we do, even as individuals. And God, over and over again, he's forgiving. He wants to redeem us. And so this culminates in God sending his son, Jesus, to live a perfect life that we couldn't live, a life that always chose God. And then he died the death that we deserve for our sin on the cross, paid the penalty for our sin, all for one reason. Why? To reconcile us to himself, to bring us back into his family, to make a way for us to know him again. And so often, unfortunately, people just have this idea of the Christian message that it's all about like getting out of hell. Okay, that's all about getting out of hell. That's purely about escaping the punishment and consequences of our sin. And I'm not here to say that that's not at all relevant. Like, I believe that hell exists. The Bible teaches that we're owed a penalty for our sin. But the primary purpose of Christ's coming isn't fire insurance, but eternal life. Eternal life. And sometimes we like to think that eternal life is what's going to happen in heaven someday. But that's not really what the Bible teaches. Biblically, eternal life begins the moment you place your faith in Jesus. And it's because of this purpose we're talking about, being reconciled to God, knowing God, loving him. This is what John 17:3 says about eternal life. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. You'll notice, absent from this definition is any mention of heaven at all. That's because heaven is not the end goal. Heaven is not the end goal for human beings. It is a means to an end. And that end is a deep relationship with God. Okay, heaven is where we get to see and experience God in his fullness forever. But we get to experience that here on earth while we're still humans. Well, I'm sorry, we're always humans, but while we're still, you know, here on earth. This is what we are created for. To have a deep love relationship with God. That's eternal life. That's our main purpose. That's the reason we're here. And so when we see these places in Scripture that give us commands to love God, what we're seeing is not just like a rule to follow. What we're seeing is not just a command, but it's also where we find our greatest joy and purpose. This is what you are made for. You were made to know God and to love him forever. It's the primary purpose of our lives. And that will bleed into all other things. It'll bleed into every other area of our lives. It's the firm foundation that so many other good things ultimately are built on. And those things end up pointing us back to him and to his goodness. Okay, and so for example, the purpose and meaning I have in my life isn't found in something like being a great dad or being a great husband. You know, those aren't bad things, but that's not where I find my meaning and my purpose. It's found in knowing and loving Christ. But knowing and loving Christ makes me want to be a great dad and a great husband. And ultimately, being a dad and husband becomes more fulfilling because it points me back to God. Like as I seek to be a great dad, I see with fresh eyes just how much my perfect heavenly father must care for me if I care so much for my kid. It points me back to the greater, more eternal purpose. This is what we're made for. This is why you're here, to know God and to love him forever. And if you don't know him yet, your purpose is to be reconciled to him. That's what you've been yearning for. And you will seek, honestly, for your whole life for meaning and purpose until you find it in him, if you've not found it already. It's the first and most supreme purpose of our lives, to know God and love him forever. This cornerstone purpose leads into two others that we're going to talk about as well, though. You see, God's purpose, it doesn't end with reconciling us to himself, but he also wants to transform us. He wants to transform us. And so the second purpose we have as Christians is to become more like Christ, to become more like Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, this is our passage again for today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. 2 Corinthians 3, this is earlier in the same book. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. And so what we see is that God doesn't just want you to know him, doesn't just want you to love him, but he wants to totally transform your life. He wants to totally change your life. He wants to change you from the inside out. He wants to, as the scriptures say, turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He wants to change you. And so you've probably heard it said before that, like, hey, God loves you. He loves you so much, and he loves you just the way that you are. And I don't really like that much, because there is some truth to that, right? Like, he does love you no matter where you're at in your life. That's true. Okay, I'm not trying to discount that. But he also loves you too much to leave you where you are. It's not as though God just wants to come and invite you into a relationship with him and just say, okay, you're fine now, exactly the way you are. No, he wants to transform and redeem you and change you into his likeness. He loves you way too much to leave you where you are. Okay? And so, you know, here's the thing about that, that most people don't really like, and I would say I don't really like, if I'm being honest, about growing in Christ's likeness and about being transformed into his image, it's that it's hard. It doesn't feel good, okay? And the reason for that is because we're selfish creatures by nature, okay? We have this natural bent, this natural tendency to want to protect ourselves. Okay, we naturally want to be king over our own lives. It's our nature. Our nature is to establish ourselves as king, not Christ. And so when God comes along to shape us more and more into his image, there's some friction there. Okay, there's some friction there. When God and his spirit is trying to shape you more into his image, and you, in your nature, wants to shape you back into your own image, okay? There's some rub. There's some friction there. And so I remember for me, especially early on in my walk with Jesus, there was a season of life where, you know, I was at LT, our summer program, as a student, and I experienced a lot of that friction because I was just starting to follow Christ. And there was a lot of character development that needed to happen in me, okay? You know, I was very young in the faith, was still learning a whole lot, you know. And I really loved God, but I also really loved my image, okay? I really wanted people to like me, wanted people to think highly of me. And unfortunately, if I wanted to grow in Christ's likeness, that had to die. Yeah, that had to die. I'd have to be diligent about putting others first instead of numero uno, okay? And that was a difficult process, putting my own selfishness to death. And it's a process that continually is happening for anyone who is a follower of Christ, learning to love others sacrificially instead of always thinking about myself is a painful and difficult process, but a necessary one. But that's how it goes if you want to be made more and more into a Christ-like follower of Jesus. It means trials, it means difficulty, it means discipline from God, and it means dying to ourselves and our own desires. But ultimately, it's for our good, and it's for the good of those around us. And it's one of the chief purposes we have as Christians, not just to love God, but to become more and more and more like him and less and less and less like the world. And so we're not going to dig in too much into this, but here are a few ways. If you're just like, oh man, I really want to grow in Christ like this, what does that look like? Here are a few things for you. The first thing, we want to think the way that Christ thinks. We want to think the way that Christ thinks. Philippians 2:5, the end of verse 5 says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Okay, so if we want to grow in Christ's likeness, if we want to grow in this purpose, we want to learn to think the way that Christ thinks. We want to study the scriptures so that we can know just how God thinks, just the way that he thinks. And then we want to train ourselves to think that way too. We can begin to notice that we're growing in Christ's likeness when we start to think the way that he thinks and less the way that we used to. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is this. We act the way that Christ acts. 1 Corinthians 11, I love this. This is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so, we want to study the way that Christ and his disciples in the scriptures lived and emulate that as best we can. Okay, if we want to grow in Christ's likeness, we want to look at the way that they were living and be like, okay, What do I need to do to live my life like that? Okay, we want to seek to submit every action to his way. And then the last thing is this, we adopt the mission that Christ has. We adopt the mission that Christ has, which leads into our very last purpose, which I think kind of branches out into the broader thing, is this, to be Christ's ambassadors. This is from our passage as well, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so part of being transformed and being made more like Christ is caring about the things that he cares about. The thing he cares about the most is people. It's people. God loves people so, so much. That's why he gave a whole lot up in order to reconcile people to himself. And this is the beauty of the passage we started with. We see this clear trajectory of our purpose as really as people in general, but especially as believers in Jesus. It's to be reconciled ourselves, to be transformed, right? And to be made more like Christ, and then to be sent out as Christ's ambassadors so others might join in that very same reconciliation. So that others might join in that very same purpose. This is why we were made. This is why we're here. These three things answer the burning question we've all had. Why am I here? If you've ever wondered, like, what is it that God has for me? Why am I here? And I think the tendency is really to lean into career and things like that, or family. You know, a lot of these things that are not bad, to find our purpose, to find like some unique niche that we can really lean into and be like, oh, this is my purpose. I want you to know, if you are a follower of Jesus, your purpose is to love God with all of your being, first and foremost. As you do that, he's going to transform you more and more to be made in his likeness. You're going to find so much joy and fulfillment in that. And your purpose is to be his ambassador, to represent him to others so that others might join in that very same purpose that he's had for all human beings since the beginning of time. This is why we were made. We're designed to have a deep love relationship with God. It's what we were made for, what we were created for. This is the story of all of Scripture, is that God wants to know you. It's why, if you read your Bible at all and you don't get that, you're not reading the same thing I'm reading. It's to love him, to be transformed day by day, and to be being made more like him, and to as we're transformed, to invite others into that same process. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you find yourself, where you live, what your career is, this is your purpose. This is what you're made for, what you're designed for. To be reconciled, to be transformed, and to be sent. And so when you think about your purpose, the world is going to tell you all sorts of things about where you can find that, where you can find meaning. They might say something like, find yourself. Right? Just find yourself. You can find who you really are. But God tells us something very different. He tells us to be found in Christ. This is something we discover, not something we create. You are made to know God and love him forever. You are saved to be changed and transformed, to look more and more like Jesus. And you were sent to be his ambassador to others so that they might find the very thing that you've already found. And so the question is not, do I have a purpose? That's I think, where a lot of people end up when they're seeking for this stuff. Do I even have one? God has designed each of you with a deep purpose, just as we've talked about. So it's not a question of if you have one, but really it's a question of if you're going to live like it. If you're going to live like it. And so that's the invitation. Will you live like you have this purpose? Will you live out the purpose that God has designed for you, to love him with all your heart, to be transformed and to be sent? You know, I know I'm not the only one in here that has felt aimless before, okay? I know I'm not the only one. Why am I here? What's God's plan for me? What am I even doing? And really, my hope in preaching this is like to point us all back to the truth. This is not super complicated, of course. I don't imagine I've said something totally mind-blowing to many of you, but really, this is what we see in Scripture. It's not this big, unique thing for each individual person. But where we find purpose is what we've been talking about. Man, to love God, to be transformed, to be sent. And so I hope that we lean into that purpose that he's already declared and live that out. Let's pray.
God, I thank you for how you've made us and how you've made us with this yearning in our heart for deep purpose. And God, I just pray that you would help us to lean into the purpose that you've given us, to love you with our whole heart forever and ever, God, to be transformed, to be made more like you, and to be sent as your ambassador so that others might join in that very same purpose, God. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that. God, you'd help us to acknowledge all the ways that we seek to find purpose and meaning in things that you've not designed us for, and to cast those things aside and to really lean into what you've given us. And so we pray this in your name. Amen.